Time after time, I tell myself that I'm so lucky to be loving you. So lucky to be
Yes, so lucky. Lucky that you're here. Lucky you. This week's broadcast on the WM Briggs Show is all about luck. So stay tuned to have some more good luck.
I only know what I know. The passing years will show. You've kept my love so young. So new. And time.
All right, our subject today is luck. So there's this guy, Jay. And this is a true story, so pay attention. Jay is doing well. He's a pillar of his community. He's got a big family. He's got a house. He's got a lot of land, a lot of money. He had his health and plenty of friends. Everybody says Jay was a great guy. He was free with his money. He was generous. He was kind to small animals, all that kind of thing. So then one dark and stormy night, something not too pleasant happened to Jay while he and his wife were away. His kids who were watching the property were victims of a home invasion, a bloody one. These bad guys busted in, they killed the family, and they even torched the place, I don't know, maybe to eliminate the evidence. After that happened, Jay developed this horrible, painful rash, the poor guy. Well, who wouldn't? He was sick for a long time, and he became listless, and everything you might expect from somebody who suffered such a tragedy. And the question we have before us, is this bad luck? Well, it is. All right. So what's luck? We need to understand exactly what luck is. And the best way to do that, I think, is through some more examples of just the type we had here. So you're walking down the street, and you choose the quickest route to get to where you're going. And as you're walking, you're beamed in the head by a suicide jumper. Now, this actually happened to this woman. I have a link for you on the blog. She was bashed in the head and was paralyzed. Didn't kill her, but it paralyzed her. Or maybe you're walking along and you find a 50, if they still print those, on the curb. Now, if you had known about the jumper in advance, you would have gone another way. Or, again, if you would have known about the 50 lying there, you would have ensured you didn't deviate from your planned route. All right, that's one example twice over. Here's another. You're told to show up at a set time at a place where this guy is going to offer you a job. But the guy you're to meet is held up on a stalled train. Another suicide. Somebody jumped in front of it, stalled it out. This actually happened to me. Now, the guy had to fill the position immediately. He didn't get to meet you, and so was forced to give the job to somebody else. Now, even if you had known about the train, the next day you'd still be sending out resumes. So, is that bad luck? All right, how about this one right here? There you are on the flight. You're sitting in steerage in the middle seat, because every damn window is closed so people can meld with their thinking suppression devices. When the announcement is given, is there a pilot on the plane? Why, you're a pilot. You're a pilot. You're a trained pilot. You rush into the cockpit, and then this.
Watch your stall speed. These are down.
down! The brake! Pull the red handle!
I just want to tell you both good luck. We're all counting on you.
All right, so you saved the day, and isn't it lucky that you happened to be in the cockpit at this particular time? If you had known the regular pilots shouldn't have eaten the fish, you would have still got on the plane because you wanted to get where you're going. And, of course, you're a pilot, so there's no problem. So, now, luck is only simple if you don't think about it, and this is true of many things. So let's make it difficult by putting our little gray cells to work. What are the main factors in perceiving luck? Well, at the very least, predictive ability, as we've sort of hinted at in these examples, and the idea of deserve, what you deserve or what you don't deserve, or what other people think you might deserve, which is to say, justice. And in a moment, the first thing we'll do is discuss predictions.
Oh, boy, I'm lucky. I'll say I'm lucky. This is my lucky day. I'm all in clover. I'm glad all over. I want to shout hooray. I found a horseshoe. Couldn't go wrong. And then, of course, you happened along. Oh, boy, I'm lucky. I'll say I'm lucky. This is my lucky day.
Well, I remind the listener it's his or her lucky day for tuning into this fine broadcast. Well, it's not that the coincidence of standing on X marked the spot and having a body fall on your head, as happened to that woman, is inherently unpredictable. Logically, the event is contingent. And most contingent events are predictable in a certain sense. And that sense is this, that if we knew all the determinants or causes, and the two aren't the same, then we could say that the event will or won't happen. If we only knew some of the determinants or causes, or any number of correlates, then we could only say the event will happen with some probability. Now, quantum mechanical events fall into this last category, where we don't know all the causes or determinants, but we do know many of the correlates. So, which is to say, we could make predictions, we could make these kinds of predictions about luck only if we cared to think about them at all. Now, the woman who was bashed on the head by the jumper, even if she had access to some NSA Orwellian level of tracking gear, and thus had plenty of premises upon which to make a prediction. I mean, she could use these premises from this tracking gear to form a prediction of her getting socked on the head. She wouldn't have thought to do so. Why would she? Things, strange things, happen all the time. The possible class of good or bad contingent things that could happen to you are endless. Literally endless. And there's no way to know how to pick and choose among these events in advance. Well, not forbidden completely. We know how to predict some things, but to predict everything, that's way beyond our powers. Now, here's what I mean. Suppose an evil genius scientist comes to you and says he'll grant you one wish, which is to specify an event. You specify the event, and he'll tell you whether or not it will happen. Pretty simple. This guy is so smart that he can even fix quantum mechanical determinants. But you only get one wish now. So everything under the universe, or under the sun, if you like, is available to you. Now you're the woman about to go on her walk. What event do you ask about? Think about that. What event do you ask about? You can ask, well, will I get beaned? And the answer will be yes, because the scientists will know. Though that's obviously a useless question because it doesn't specify when. Or you could tighten it. Will I get beaned while on this walk? Well, you'd be told yes again, but not why, or exactly when, or how. And anyway, you're not guaranteed to not have, say, a body fall on you elsewhere, or else when. Think about it. If you waited 10 minutes and then began your walk, would that count as the same walk? If you, in your mind, then switched paths after asking this question, would that be the same walk? And so on, endlessly. So that there's just no way to know what questions to ask all the time. Sometimes there are. There are some situations which we peg as inherently dangerous or rewarding. Mountain climbing blindfolded, say. Or becoming a Democrat alderman in Chicago. But then predictions are easier because of the milieu. So if you were to fall while mountain climbing blindfolded, or be offered a bribe while a politician in Chicago or Brooklyn, nobody would say you had bad or good luck. These events are entirely expected. Well, sometimes luck has to do with what you know, and sometimes it doesn't. Predicting what will happen affects our perceptions of luck, or rather, the absence of the ability to predict results in the feeling of luck. But there's more to it than that. Consider buying a lottery ticket with odds of winning, say, I don't know, 1 in 300 million. Given the rules of the gamble, which some insist on calling a game, you can easily predict the outcome of winning, which we've just done. It's 1 in 300 million. Suppose you win. Is that good luck? Well, maybe it's easier to think of it in reverse. Suppose you lose. Is that bad luck? It doesn't seem so, to me anyway. Given the rules, you were almost certainly going to lose. Also, you knew this. Everybody knew this, who'd care to think about it. But everybody would say you were lucky if you won. And the reason is, the event was predictable but of low chance given the specified premises of the gamble. No event has its own probability. Every event must have a probability with respect to certain assumptions. That's a key point. The low chance and knowledge of the premises is what made it lucky, or made it feel lucky or seem lucky. Again, it wouldn't be so lucky or seem lucky if you were the guy in control of the lottery machine in, say, Brooklyn. Let's amplify this example. Suppose instead of buying the ticket, you were out walking and a stranger came up to you and said, "Here, take this. I'm trying to break myself of this damn lottery habit. It's a ticket." And you win. Now that's lucky. The event of the man giving you the winning ticket wasn't predicted by you or by anybody. It was predictable upon assuming certain premises, but nobody, least of all you, would have thought of doing that. That's what makes the luck, then. It's not the event's rarity, per se, or not just that. It's the event is unthought of and of seeming low chance, even when considered after the fact, because the premises which would have given rise to a tight prediction are themselves unknown or unthought of. The causes, I mean to say. Rarity and its cousin unpredictability are thus one factor in luck. What about deserve? What about deserve? That's our next subject.
Who'd you kill first? When confronted by superior numbers, an experienced gunfighter will always fire on the best shot first.
Is that so?
Yeah, Little Bill told me that.
And you probably killed him first, didn't you?
I was lucky in the order. But I've always been lucky when it comes to killing folks.
I don't deserve this. To die like this. I was building a house.
Deserves got nothing to do with it.
I'll see you in hell, William Money.
Well, that little clip is wisdom about luck. We're going to discover that deserves got nothing to do with it. So here's another example for you. The radio announces, teams are going to be chosen for the rocket ship to the new planet. Seeing this one, Earth is doomed. Only those men as tall as 6'2" will go. That's bad luck to you, because you're only 5'9". And darn unfair, too, you think. You deserve as much chance to be preserved as the tall and mighty. There was nothing you could do about being short. You were born that way. Now, that's an appealing argument to us moderns these days. But however alluring, you're still left behind. Unlucky to be born short in times like these, which require tall men. There's an element of unpredictability lurking here, of course. If your parents had known the Earth was to be doomed, they would have chosen a genetically engineered tall son instead of a pipsqueak like you. Well, on the other hand, if they had done that, you would never have existed. You lose either way. So predictability is not the most important part about this element of luck. Let me clarify this example. Suppose instead of being short, it's your neighbor is diminutive, and he's a jerk. Instead of just being short, he's diminutive, of course, but he is a jerk. Why? He was even overheard saying, "Don't call me Bruce Jenner," was a man. Rumor has it, he's even a climate denier and a closet monarchist. The new world is better off without this guy. So we can admit, for him, it's not good that he's short. But that he is short means he is getting what is coming to him. So he is getting what he deserves. Well, that's because you think he's a jerk. Now, as you're sitting there and you're on the ship and you're watching the Earth crumble from the viewport, you wonder to yourself, did your neighbor really have bad luck? Think about that. The bad part is well enough. He's perishing with everybody else. That's bad. But the luck of the situation seems to diminish because of this deserve. This man was served cosmic justice. There's no luck about it at all. His antics were bound to catch up to him, you think, and they have. Don't tell me about luck. All right, cosmic justice it is. What caused that justice? Something had to align your boorish neighbor's shortness with his demise. The universe had to have been put into a just-so position to ensure his comeuppance. Now, this would have required immense foresight on the part of this causal power. After all, much of what determines height is decided at conception, and those determinants, those causes, would have had to have been acted upon at that time, or even before. And that would have entailed having to know when the Earth was going to collapse at the time of your neighbor's birth, or before. This power also had to ensure, because not all the determinants or causes of height are at birth, that your neighbor fell short of the, occasional second helping of ribs to deprive him of height-producing proteins. Now, that's a ton of work on the part of this cosmic justice agency. Not saying it can't be done, but it would have had to have been done that way in order for him to be served cosmic justice. Well, before figuring that out, suppose as you muse out the viewport, you're shocked to see your despised neighbor come walking up the aisle of the ship. You thought he was dead, and here he is. He explains the shipbuilder was a pal of his from way back, and then he snuck him into a hidey hole in the back of the ship. Lucky SOB, you think. Luck he doesn't deserve. and which you didn't think of predicting, though your neighbor did. You think your neighbor lucky. Well, obviously you think your neighbor lucky, but he thinks himself shrewd and suitably rewarded. All right, let's think about back. Let's get back to Jay, a most moral man, a God-fearing man. Our example of Jay was the guy who had his family killed and torched. His woes were in no way deserved, we think. Therefore, what happened to him was certainly bad luck, unpredictability aside. Yet Emerson said, and wisely, shallow men believe in luck or circumstance. Strong men believe in cause and effect. Let's be strong. Now, one day in his misery, Jay finally had had enough. He cried out to God, "Why are these awful things happening to me? I don't deserve this." What shocked the bejeebers out of Jay was that God replied. God said, "Man up and stop bitching. It's not for you to understand everything that happens. I'm God, you're not." Incidentally, those latter four words are often fondly quoted by Peter Kreft, as given to him by a Baptist preacher as an apt summary of the entire Bible. I won't read you the whole thing, but what God said to Job was, "Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you," said God, "and you will tell me the answers. Where were you when I founded the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its size? Surely you know. Who stretched out the measuring line for it? Into what were its pedestals sunk, and who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." I have a larger extended quotation on the site. So it turns out, God allowed the bad things to happen to Job. This is obviously who Jay was. And that, of course, these bad things were caused to happen. So this wasn't luck at all, but design. Job didn't know it wasn't luck until he thought about the design, however. Before he considered the why, he thought he had had hard luck. So deserve helps define luck. Your sainted mother who wins the lottery deserves her luck, you think. And it is lucky for her to have won. The Planned Parenthood butcher who falls down a flight of stairs and aborts himself gets what's coming to him. If anything, this is good luck, but not for the killer. When people get what everybody expects, luck vanishes. Consider that you walk to work and nothing happens, except you get there unharmed. Well, you expect this. It's not lucky. It's predictable. It's not rare. But still, something caused you to get there. The final cause, at the least, was your decision of destination. If you're beaned on the head by something, well, that's bad luck. It's not predictable, and it's rare. And still, there is a cause for which there must be a reason, which we usually won't understand. Now, we're not quite done with this deserve thing here, but let's think a little bit more about bad luck from Minnie here.
"Every man I get, if he don't get sick, he will die. Don't some woman take away from me on a doggone fly. I'm a bad luck woman. I'm a bad luck woman. I'm a bad luck woman. I can't see the reason why. Well, the next man I got, you know, he worked very hard. Just as soon as I got him, he lost his doggone job. I'm a bad luck. I'm a bad luck woman. I'm a bad luck woman. I can't see the reason why."
All right, we're not done with deserve here. So, a weightlifting contest is to be held between Ivan Mad Dog Ivanov, a 6'6", 312-pound ex-Marine muscle mass, versus Diversity Drew Cohen, a 5'8", 158-pound Harvard Women's Studies graduate. Now Mad Dog wins. Is that luck? Why not? Well, Mad Dog was born big and manly. Diversity Drew was born soft and effeminate. Neither chose their physique, but both chose to train to lift weights. It wasn't Diversity Drew's fault that he hadn't a chance. Mad Dog might come to the view, because of that, that he was not lucky, that he was lucky, but that he deserved his laurels because he worked hard at being the best weightlifter he could be. Well, that bothers, Mad Dog's view bothers Robert Frank, a professor of management at Cornell who has a new book out on this subject. He says Mad Dog, or he would say Mad Dog, is lucky, pure, and simple. And therefore, Mad Dog would be, quote, less likely to support the conditions, such as high-quality public infrastructure and education, that made his success possible. That is to say, Mad Dog, if he didn't view himself as lucky, would be disinclined to view other people's as unlucky, and therefore he wouldn't support all sorts of government interventions. Well, Napoleon said, ability is of little account without opportunity. And this is a trivial truth. Yet so is its opposite, which we forget here. Opportunity is of no account without ability. And this is what Frank misses. Frank would invert our scheme and put nearly everything down to luck. And he does. I have some links on the blog. He puts nearly everything down to luck and nothing to cause, and certainly very little to choice. He would agree with Obama that you didn't build that. Why? Well, he does so in part because he thinks people who believe they're lucky are nicer. But to believe in luck is to believe that randomness and chance are ontic, which means they have an existence, which is absurd. And having absurd beliefs is not good. So even those who carry lucky charms, think about this, believe in cause. They might not have identified the right cause, but they believe in cause, and that's at least aimed in the right direction. Now, understand that everything we've talked about, everything we've discovered here, follows for absolutely every moment of your life, every event. That includes waking up this morning, walking to the kitchen, pouring a cup of coffee, listening to this marvelous broadcast. Every moment would be lucky under Frank's scheme. It'd have to be consistent. But under our understanding, every moment has purpose and reason. It's therefore rational to seek out and understand these purposes and reasons. That's the real point about luck. Understand the why. Solon said, let no man be happy before his death. Till then, he is not happy, only lucky. Well, Merle Haggard would say, you can be both happy and lucky. Right, Merle? Oh, tune in next week. Why are you so judgmental?
And bad luck, and no luck, it's true. But I always get lucky with you. I've been turned on and turned down when the bars close at two. But I always get lucky with you. I keep two strikes against me most all of the time. And when it's down to a phone call, I minus the dime. There's been good days, bad days, but when the day is all through, hey, I always get lucky with you. I keep two strikes against me most all.